It's a Thursday evening at VFW Post 1527 in Portage. A handful of middle-aged men sit at the bar, under patriotic banners, sipping domestic beers, and giving fleeting looks to the ballgame on the TV. They talk about the stuff guys do, baseball, their wives, fishing, trouble with the cable company, the weather. But they also talk about coming home from war. Mike Haas is one of them. At 58, he has more than 30 years of military service, including deployments to Afghanistan and Iraq as an Army reservist. Like many vets, Haas is deeply patriotic. The terrorist attacks of September 11th, a major motivation to serve.
Before my first drill in September, 9/11 happened. And I realized my life was going to be radically different from that point on.
He was right. America's involvement in Iraq ended in December 2011. At the end of this year, combat operations in Afghanistan will cease. The nation's longest wars since Vietnam are over, and although the veteran may have hung up his uniform, the war often remains in his reflexes, his reactions, his strength and forward-looking resolve, the kind that shuns help. Some vets get lost in the red tape of the benefits process. Others feel like strangers when they come home, those who they left behind unable to understand their experiences. A lot has been made of what the mental health establishment calls post-traumatic stress disorder in returning vets. Haas says it's not a disorder at all. In fact, he's offended by that term.
I don't believe that because we have some kind of post-traumatic stress from an event that we are have a disorder. Society has enough issues with veterans already not understanding us to label us as having a disorder just now says damaged goods.
While deployed in Iraq in 2009, Haas knew that if the night was cloudy, insurgents would begin firing rockets. While on patrols or in convoys, the threat of IED explosions or sniper fire was constant. The stress of these experiences surfaced in a powerful way one day when he was stateside, driving north on US 131 with his wife. A bag of trash lay under the stadium drive overpass. In a split second, Haas returned to Iraq.
And when I looked up and saw that, I screamed IED at top of my voice. And she twisted the wheel, it scared her. Luckily, there was nobody beside us. My heart came out of my chest because that's a sure IED right there.
Many vets have experienced things unimaginable to the everyday civilian, but they're not damaged goods, Haas says. Some employers have told him they won't hire vets because they're worried about them snapping under pressure or making customers nervous.
Very few people in society understand what the vets go through. They don't know. And I don't blame them. Why should they? But here's the problem with society. Society either doesn't understand what we went through, or they think that everybody who come back is just one event away from just becoming a raging lunatic.
Haas says that's a function of ours being an all-volunteer military. No one is forced into service, and that means the nation's fighting has been performed by a sliver of our population. The further away we are from the harsh realities of war, the less we understand about the needs of those who's fought in them, and the easier it is to forget.
I think that there are many hurdles.
That's Tracy Queta, Director of Military and Veterans Affairs at Western Michigan University.
Even if someone is, stable, feeling good, proud, ready to be in civilian life, the transition is just that. It is a transition that takes time.
While some of his friends were heading off to college, Sean Nagel was deploying to Iraq, just 19 years old, a member of the Army's 82nd Airborne Division. Nagel was in Iraq in 2006 and 2007, and again in 2008 and 2009. Now a business student at WMU, he spent his formative years in a war zone.
One of the biggest things, the only analogy that I have is for guys that have deployed and been to a combat zone and, have been in any type of combat action whatsoever, when you come back, it almost makes you feel like a wolf among sheep because you know what it's like to be in those environments, but you come back here and it's never like that.
In some ways, America was foreign to Nagel when he came home. Some of his friends had a hard time understanding him, and he couldn't get why so many people wore their emotions on their sleeves. It was just the way he was. Guys younger than him would say things not knowing Nagel might take it completely different. Everyday talk sometimes lost in the translation of vastly different life experiences.
You'll run into some 20-year-old guy who's like, I'm going to kill you, man. And you're like, you don't say it to, when you're saying that to me, I take that as a whole different, that means a whole different thing to me. Maybe to some other people that have been in school their whole life and in college, they might take that as, oh, we're going to fight or whatever, but I mean, it's a whole different thing. When I first came home, I thought I was going to be in jail within a year.
Nagel has never been to the Battle Creek VA for health care, even though he admits he probably should have gone by now. And even though he believes he's okay, he's known comrades who needed help dealing with the stress of war. Help is readily available, and some seek it out on their own, while others hold back. There's also a culture in the military that can shun such cries for help, something officials are working to eliminate.
Sometimes you're afraid to just go because of the fact that you don't want to find out something bad, bad news, you know, where you're stuck on now remedial PT, or you have to do some kind of physical therapy for something, and, you know, or you're being laid up for 2 weeks. You know, you don't want that. Or you don't want to be the guy that, and maybe that is a stigma too then. You don't want to be that guy.
Nagel has had few problems with his benefits. Sometimes his GI Bill money comes a bit late, but overall he's satisfied, he says. Mike Haas is a different story. His time in the service left him 100% disabled, but it wasn't the military or the VA that let him know the benefits due to him. It was a friend at the VFW, and that frustrates him.
There's nobody at the VA who sits me down and says, here you go, you're 100% disabled, let me explain to you what that means. They just sent me a packet in the mail and go, here you go. I'm like, okay.
Do you think that the VA is overwhelmed?
Sure. The VA is, they're so far underwater, they're breathing air through a long straw.
It's not news that the VA has long backlogs of benefits claims. Haas has high praise for the medical care he receives in Battle Creek, but he wants the agency as a whole to do better, to become more streamlined. The recent scandal involving long wait times for those seeking medical care doesn't help the VA's image, he says. In the meantime, Haas says his post is organizing a list of services and contact information for any vet who needs assistance. He's asking us to do our part, too. Supporting our troops is much more than putting a yellow ribbon on your car. It's about, in his words, having skin in the game.
Well, instead of donating a dollar on your tax return, why don't you go down and join some program and help out? Give an hour a week of volunteer time instead of donating a dollar. Instead of sticking a ribbon in the back of your car, actually go down and help a vet somewhere.
For WMUK, I'm Chris Killian.